Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, number 117. This is the 22nd day of April 2005, and we're recording right here at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. We're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind, for about an hour or so. Host of the show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Well, Mr. Tom, where's that cool weather you're supposed to be bringing us this afternoon?
I don't know, but I wish we had some of it. It's a little warm out right now.
It is, man.
Don Patterson's in the building today.
Yes, sir. I was just stick my head out the door there and saw this Greyhound bus pulling up here. I don't know what to do. Anybody leaving that I know of?
Leaving town.
I'll tell you what, we've got a very special guest join us today from Dallas, Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, John Conley. Say hello, John.
All right. How's it going?
Oh, good to have you with us today. And yeah, ladies and gentlemen, just stop everything for a minute and let me introduce the creator and producer of this thing.
Stop everything?
Yes, just stop everything. Music and everything. Oh. Here he is, the creator, producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Let's hear it for Phil Parr.
I give you some idea, about 18,000 people here today. Anyway, let's get back to the bus subject here. John Conley is with us. John Conley has been here before on other shows that we've had. We've never aired any of them, but we have. He's certainly an old friend of ours. Comes down. How many times have you been down here, Conwood?
Oh, I don't know, 22, 23, something like that.
23 times he's come for what we call Blind Weekend. And why we call it that, there are a lot of blind people that get together. So we're having it this weekend. My wife.
Mini Blind Weekend.
We have. My wife is in Las Vegas, Nevada. And a lady brought me a bunch of money to do a project today. I sure am glad she brought it today. If she brought it 2 days ago, I'd have lost it, wouldn't I?
Yeah, but except I thought we were going to have a poker game after burgers.
We can.
With the eye of H. You could have the eye of H and the K of D.
I have the old eye of H.
That's right.
Work that in, did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Conley came by himself this time. Usually his friend John Bennett, he comes with him, but John didn't have any time off. And John had a little heart attack, and so he's been kind of laid up, and he didn't have any time off, so he didn't get to come. So Conley, Shaw and I were standing out waiting on him yesterday, and here came up the driveway, very slowly. Shaw said, "What the hell? What is that?"
Yeah.
So we thought first that this is a UPS truck, because it's a big diesel motor chumming up the driveway very slowly. This boy chartered a Greyhound bus to come down here by himself, seated how many people?
47.
See, 47 people, and there was nobody there but him, he and the driver. And all he did was sleep in the front seat up there on the way down.
Big, gigantic bus, man.
So you Greyhound. People in Pennsylvania take note. Y'all can all pile up.
Charter
a
Greyhound.
I have the 1-800 number if anybody needs it.
Yeah.
Charter a Greyhound and come down here.
That's right.
But this big bus pulled up. The guy couldn't turn around, and I have a lot of driveway. I've got a lot of room.
Yeah, long driveway.
I've got a big, long driveway and lots of, should be able to turn around, but he had to back out onto Southwood Drive.
Which is about, 900 feet back through the trees?
No, it's actually about 450 feet. It's 900 feet both ways.
I offered to drive for him. He wouldn't go for that.
Well, I can't blame him for that.
And the traffic on Southwood Drive goes, 100 miles an hour whether they need to or not.
Exactly.
And so he backed out.
There aren't too many of them, but they come fast. In fact, you can hear them as they come around the curve and over the little hill by my house. If I'm taking the garbage out, you can hear them hit the overdrive.
Yeah, it's sort of like the launch pad at Intercontinental Airport.
You get extra points for mowing down a blind guy putting out the garbage.
Especially on his bike, riding his bike. I rode my bike out there one time, and I said never again.
Shaw and his scooter. Do you walk the scooter down Southwood Drive, Shaw, when you can?
Yeah, I usually walk it down to the next block.
Yeah.
This show 22, my visit is 22.
This is your 22nd visit.
22nd visit.
Whoa.
22nd time, 22 times. And we've always lived in this house. We never did Blind Handyman at the other house, did we?
No.
Started
never
in 94.
Started at this house.
April 94.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, when I saw his bus, I thought Gene Watson was here, or maybe Ray Price,
Yeah.
And I thought, hot diggity dog, I'm going to get to meet Ray Price.
And you saw that greyhound, huh?
It was John Conley.
You mean, Houston, it never crossed your mind that maybe the handyman had really taken off and that we were on the road for
somehow,
on a tour?
Somehow it didn't.
That never crossed your mind that that could have happened?
No, it did not.
You mean that NPR picked us up?
Yeah, NPR picked us up, and our Sirius satellite.
And we were on the road to being big stars. Never crossed your mind?
Never did.
Because I've got a couple friends. One's playing with Gene Watson, one's playing with Ray Price.
Yeah, and I've met Gene Watson at this house before.
Watson was at this house? I've been to this house before.
That's exactly right. And I thought, well, maybe O'Brien has brought Ray Price around.
Or Brian hit the big time. Not likely.
Well, he might. He's got a better shot than we do there, boy.
But he likes BMWs. He'd never be caught dead in the greyhound.
He can pick a guitar.
If Brian knew how lucky he was. I mean, this boy's made.
Yeah.
19 years old, big, tall, 20 years old, big, tall, 6'2".
Handsome fella.
Good-looking boy.
Yeah.
So I've heard.
I thought he was anyway.
And so we don't make to make fun of people. We just do it. We make fun of everybody though. We don't. Yeah, we pull no punches. He's just lucky teaching guitar and playing. And he's making about $4,000 a month teaching and playing.
My goodness!
I know if the IRS isn't listening, but you're
a great musician. And man, what a deal, man! That would just be
a musician. We come to Lufkin next fall. He's going to have to come play for us. All right. Time to read some email that we won't know the answers to, Tommy.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is it harmful if some coffee grounds get down a drain where there's no garbage disposal?
No, it's good for it.
Gary likes those gold filters, but I don't care how careful I am. I can't get all the darn grounds out when I rinse out the filter after emptying the bulk of the stuff in the garbage can.
It is good for your drain.
It helps the drain?
Yes, it does.
Now, I didn't know that.
It's good for your drain to pour coffee grounds.
Get all that junky stuff out.
Because it gets all the crap out of it. It does. It's good for your drain to pour a few coffee grounds down.
I'd just run a lot of water after.
I would, too. It'd be just like pouring, if you wanted to put a snake down there, it would help. Drano, this would coffee grounds, they'll move things along, you know.
That's it.
So, Darla, you have the answer to that.
Is that Darla Dahl?
Darla Rogers out of Albany, Georgia.
Yeah. She got married.
Oh, is that Darla?
That's Darla Dahl.
Darla Dahl.
Okay.
Boy, if I had a name like Darla Dahl, I would never have let anybody con me into changing it to Rogers.
That's like a radio.
Sounds like a soap opera on the radio.
Starring Kathy Bridges and Darla Dahl.
Yeah, what a name. Great name.
As the stomach turns.
Yeah.
Here's somebody that just put in a new gasket on an above-ground swimming pool.
Yep.
And this is the gasket now at the skimmer.
Yep.
It's fine except for a minor leak in two spots. Is there a product which can be sprayed, brushed, or applied to this area which would seal up a small leak? Okay, pool men.
I wonder what the pool is made of would be the first question.
Well, it's an above-ground pool, but he doesn't say.
Yeah.
Man, if I knew where the leak was, I'd put a bicycle patch over it, wouldn't you?
Well, I would. I don't know how hard it is. I mean, apparently this person did the gasket. Anyway, I mean, I would take it back out. You may have a wrinkle. I'd go look at that or see if your thing is not cross-threaded.
Yeah, if there's a problem with the liner.
If there's a lid that you're screwing on. Maybe
you shouldn't have a leak if you put a new gasket in.
If it's a new gasket, but there are some products on the market. I don't know the name. I know, that they claim it'll patch a hole in a water hose as big as all get out. But I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if you've got a plastic housing and you're dealing with a rubber gasket, I doubt it. And then if it's pumped, that's going to be under pressure, under a little pressure. Is there not going to be some?
There'd have to be some pressure.
Yeah, so I think I would go back and
I'd start over.
Revisit.
Did you clean the surface you put the gasket on, my question.
Yeah,
clean all the old
question.
Crap off, all the old glue, all the old rubber, all the old everything. Clean it good. Any compounds you put on there with plastic's liable to bond everything together, you know?
Yeah, and then like I say, with plastic, sometimes if there's something that you're screwing on, sometimes it's real easy to get it crossed.
It would be. Yeah. I'd take the whole thing apart and start over, is what I'd do. But you may not want to do that. Boy, speaking of taking things apart, my wife said the worst thing she could have possibly said the other day. She said, well, looks like we're getting a little sand in the pool. We just changed the damn sand.
A little sand in the pool.
So obviously we took the radios out and we may have gotten a little hole in one, because that would be the only way you get sand in the pool.
Yeah.
So, you know, those radios were $20 a piece. I guess we're going to have to take the damn thing apart again, and it's a major problem.
Man. So, Stan is steadily just going into the pool.
I just ignored her. I just walked off.
Well, with admonitions like she gives out sometimes, aren't you glad the roof doesn't leak?
Yeah, that would be worse.
I told you, if the roof had leaked, the thing to do would be just open one of your guest rooms and air it out, because I'm coming.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to move in with you and Emmett out on the Ponderosa. Yeah. That'd be pretty, if the roof had, thank God. I got up. The morning it rained, it's been, how long ago was it? 3 weeks we did the roof. Three weeks ago tomorrow.
The biggest
and
flood.
Then we had a tremendous rain. Well, I woke up about 4:30 and realized it rained and thought, I'll get up and go see. And I thought, hell, if it's leaking, it's leaking. I got up and went and felt, I told this, well, I went and felt each chair and everything was, oh, man. Oh, because it leaked, you know, one time it leaked on her laptop. She keeps her, Luann's got a, she's got a card in her laptop. She can sit there and be on TV and watching TV and online at the same time. When the commercials come on, she fast forward through them, or she can just get online and buy something. You know, it's
my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Hi, folks. Technology. It's spring now. Everybody knows it's spring now.
Yeah.
The grass is growing taller every day. In the last couple of days, I managed to fix all of my window screens. I found it much cheaper to fix them than to buy new ones. Now the lawn is my project. Now, I know that you discussed this project many times, but still, I'm not sure how to mow my lawn without damaging my grass. I'm also not sure on how to do all the grass equal height without missing big patches here and there. Have any blind person figured a very practical way of mowing the lawn, that is, without sighted help? If so, how do I go about it?
I like the post you talked about, Phil, that was sent to the list about the putting the stake in the middle of the yard.
This was Dale Levins, who was our guest, and he said you'd put a stake in the middle of the yard, and you'd wind a rope around. He said that he'll mow backward. He'll pull his mower instead of pushing it. So it doesn't mow quite as well. But, you know, and you put a stake in exactly the middle of the yard, and you wind a rope around it, and you take this rope and tie it to the mower, and you just keep going around, and as the rope unwinds, you'll get all of the yard except the corners, and you'll go get them later. But without someone able to look at the lawn and saying you didn't miss anything, I don't know how you'd do it. Do you? Anybody know? Conley,
I have no
How would you mow your lawn if you had nobody, period?
I've solved that problem, kind of.
You hired somebody to do it.
Well, no, I bought Pam a big screen TV, and it gets done, you know.
You, Pam, is,
yeah, what a
you, you make Pam get out there and mow your lawn, you lazy. Man, what if you folks, you bought a big screen, her big screen TV, you bought another, this guy owns the PTR recorder that we talk about all the time, we've mentioned several times. He's bought another one, so now I'm going to buy another one.
He must have won the lottery, I think.
And then chartered a bus, and he bought Pam a big screen TV, and he worked at the lighthouse. Damn, I'm coming up there.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
I can put nuts in envelopes as good as you can.
You know, we didn't tell about the highway patrolman that stopped
him. The highway patrolman stopped him on the way down, and he got on the bus and asked for Conley's ID.
He asked me where I worked.
Did you tell him you could demonstrate the fact that you were blind if you had to by taking one of your eyes? Oh, you don't have artificial eyes.
No, sure not.
So that would be a problem, wouldn't it? Man.
Yeah, taking one out would be a problem if you don't have
one.
That could hurt.
Won't be putting it back.
But why did Highway Patrolman, why did he want to know that? It was none of his damn business.
I don't know why he wanted to know where I worked. I mean,
you tell him the lighthouse for the blind?
I told him I used to work in kind of radio, but instead of working the lighthouse right now.
Kind of radio.
Not that it's any of his business, but.
Yeah, this is like kind of radio, I guess.
Boy, are you right about that.
I don't know what real radio would be like anymore.
I don't either.
Computers all the place. Anyway, you got one more we can't answer? Let me finish the rope story.
Okay.
But I thought it would be easier just to start at the edge and wind the rope up. That would be easier. But I don't know if that's practical, but we'll find out. But, you know, mowing it barefoot, it would help. And listening for the sound of the mower. When it was laboring a little bit more.
That could be a way to know.
But without some sighted help, I don't know how you'd do it complete without. I used to mow it with a push mower. I mean, when you push, not self-propelled, not anything. You just push this mower. You remember those, Pat?
Oh, yeah. But if you missed one single spot, what the hell? You know, you just would have to go on and make the best of it.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, the second problem he had is that the mower could not reach the grass at the edges.
Yep.
Why? Is there a small handheld mower for edges? How do you folks go about cutting the grass at the edges next to the walls?
Weed eater.
Brick paths, sidewalks, et cetera. And thanks again for all of
this. Weed be gone.
Is this the same question?
Yeah, this is same. This is the second part to the same question.
You know, and I haven't looked lately, but about 2 years ago or something, or it, I don't mean it may be show number 40 or 50, we addressed this and we talked about these lawnmowers that just go at random. You know, you have to put a little wire down.
We did.
They would make like vacuum cleaners like this. And even back then, I don't remember the price being too prohibitive. I haven't looked lately. I can do that, but you know, they were even solar powered, and the lawnmower just kind of goes all the time. All right, you know, it when it wants to, it just kind of goes. It's looks like a large turtle.
Kind of like the thing that Phil has in the bottom of his pool.
Yeah, like the pool cleaner.
Yeah, like the pool cleaner.
Make,
same
and they
deal.
They just go, if you have a perimeter wired, I think you bury the little wire slightly under the ground or in by your fence row, or if you have no fence. And this thing is kind of capable of getting around trees. It may just bump into them, but and I don't know how long it would take, but they make them like for like 5,000 square feet or something, and they just kind of go at random.
Now, you're going to buy a mower every 3 years.
Anyway.
And you're going to have a hard time starting that in the spring if you didn't put some stabilizer in it, or you didn't clean the carburetor, or you didn't run it out of gas. And so you're going to buy a $200 mower. For $15 every 10 days, you can have, for $45 a month, some kid will come and mow your lawn. You know, you'll spend $200 a month, a year, having a lawn mowed. That's $600 in 3 years, and you'll spend $300 a mower every 3 years. I don't care who you are.
We bought $300-something worth of mowers summer before last. I just got both mowers out of the shop just a while ago, $146. The self-propelled part had gone out on one and needed a new blade on the other. And in fact, one of them wasn't worth what I paid to have it. So
you can buy a $99 mower, like, and it'll last a year.
But you can, but like I say, you can get the kid. Well, you know, if you just like to do it, well then.
If you want to prove you're a stud macho blind man, mow your lawn. But I hire somebody to do mine.
Yeah, in a long run.
I don't have anything to prove. I married Luann Tatum.
Yeah.
I don't have to prove how brave I am. All right, moving right along.
You don't have to alienate.
I don't know where my music is, but we ought to be hearing music.
I don't have
right
to hurt everybody.
Should be.
Yeah, perhaps.
What happened to our music, Houston?
I don't know. I don't know where it is.
Satellite pulled out?
Yep. Certainly. There we go.
There it is.
It finally came on.
Perhaps he just likes to mow the lawn.
Could be. Anyway, we'll take a little break. Our guest is Charles Reichardt. We've had him on before from Medilla, New York. He's remodeling an old house built back in the 1800s. Always interesting to listen to and talk to. We'll have him on in just a minute. More of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
Serve.
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line, stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Are you on the Blind Like Me list?
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that blind like me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the blind like me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
We're going to visit with a guest we haven't talked to today in a long while, Charles Reichardt, Mr. This Old House. How are you doing, Charles?
Hello, everyone. It's really good to be back on the show. It has been quite a long time. I was on the very first couple of shows, or at least one or two shows within the first half dozen.
Oh, yeah.
And haven't been on since, so it's really a pleasure on this end to be back.
We didn't have you one more. I thought I was thinking we had you one more time a little later on. Maybe not.
I believe it's only been twice.
It's only been
make
twice.
It more.
It does. It does. I tell you what, it's like my first wife. I was married to her 14 years. It seemed like 30. Uh-huh. Anyway.
He said 45.
She said 45. Sure.
I don't think I'm going to make any comments. My wife is.
I wouldn't say a word. I wouldn't say a word. You're still in that same old house.
Still in the same old house. And for anybody who hasn't, for anybody who's heard this already, I really apologize because it can get quite boring. But
lots of new listeners since then, Charles.
What's that?
Lots of new listeners since you were on last time.
Okay. So my wife and I bought an old house in a little village in central New York. And this house is 200 years old. In fact, we had a birthday party for it this year, which I'll get into later.
All right.
All right.
But the house was built originally by one of the early merchants of this little village called Unadilla.
Uh-huh.
And, we purchased it, and we have been in the process of very slowly, because I'm a little bit impatient, but very slowly restoring it. It's a rather large house, I've got plenty of heating bills to affirm to that.
Yeah.
But we have been working on it. We started working on a room that was affectionately called the ballroom by the realtor, and it really is not a ballroom. The house does not warrant any kind of a room like that, but it is a big room, and we did a lot of work there. We had to practically rebuild the entire floor. Another area that we're doing a lot of work in is what used to be a woodshed. I'm converting that into a workshop, thanks to you guys.
Yeah.
And that's coming along. We've had some really interesting experiences with that.
I bet you.
We had to rebuild one of the walls and the floor and also the roof. And then I ended up using a very modern product to coat the roof so that we didn't have to put shingles on it that would deteriorate very quickly, because the roof has a very little pitch. You could walk on. You could put a chair on the roof and sit there.
Well, it had a deck on it at one time.
It had a deck. You got a good memory there, Phil, I must say.
Well, I tell you, we ran this show, particular show that you were on, about a month ago.
Sure uh-huh. did.
Yeah, we ran the show. I just picked one at random, and it was the one you were on, and I listened to it all. So I remember.
Well, that just shows you I wasn't listening that night, was I?
Uh-huh. All right. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry. You're doing well.
It did have a deck on it. We had to remove the deck and rebuild the roof. We resheathed it with plywood, and then we coated it with this elastomer-type substance. It's basically a rubber roof is what it is, but it was it wasn't in sheets. It was all in liquid form. So we rolled it on and everything and coated the whole thing, and it's really worked. Eventually, I'd like to put a small deck back up there so that we can come out the sliding doors in this particular room that goes onto this roof and you know, have a little place to sit. But that's another time. So we've still been working around and doing a little this and a little that. Right now, I'm involved in doing the electrical work in this workshop and also putting in insulation so that I could actually work out there in the winters. And my absolute latest project, though, is working on a sump pump system because we had some floods in early April this year.
Mm-hmm.
We live right across the street from the Susquehanna River. You can actually look out any of our front windows and see the river.
Wow.
And a couple of weeks ago, one morning, we woke up, and in the basement, we could see the river to the tune of 3 feet high.
Oh, man.
So, it ended up taking out the motor in the furnace and wiping out the thermostat in the water heater.
Wow.
And I had a pressure washer down there, which had to be taken apart and all dried out afterwards.
Yeah.
And the sump pumps that were there were not keeping up with the flow, so we had to have the local fire department come in and pump us out. And, of course, in a small village like this, you know, all the neighbors talked about it for a couple of weeks.
Well, that's all right.
So, Charles, is this a concrete basement? Is it, or is earth? I mean, is it?
The walls are laid up stone.
Okay.
I remember this.
The floor is concrete. They actually, the people who put the concrete floor in actually tried to compensate for some of the flooding that occasionally occurs here.
Right.
And they have the floor slightly tilted and angled toward, going toward the back of the house, and it eventually goes to a pit, you know, a sump.
Right.
So we basically have that part set up, but the problem we were having is that the pumps weren't strong enough to pull the water out. So now I'm working on that. We're going to have three pumps down there all together now.
So you know this is, in other words, it's planned to happen. You know it's going to happen. And so you're just trying to get equipped pump-wise to handle it, right?
Yeah, basically. I mean, this is the worst it was. We've been in the house for 4 months, and this is the worst flooding that we experienced. There have been some years where there's been none at all.
Yeah,
but you never know
four years.
It's going to happen, so you've got to be prepared.
Well, maybe Shaw could do the same thing for his playroom.
I'm kidding.
Were you thinking, Shaw got water in his...
The basement basically unusable.
Shaw has a playroom on the front of his house. It's a garage. They didn't raise up with concrete, so it's down at land level. I mean, you just there's no step up or anything.
Yeah,
and he got water in it last spring.
Yep.
So I was thinking he could do this. I guess not.
Yeah,
so the basement is unusable other than for storage.
Yeah, it really is. It you can't even store material down there because it because of the flooding problem, and it's very humid.
Yeah.
Things tend to rust very quickly down there.
No wine cellar then, huh?
No, it's just, it's wasted space. It's just utility space.
I want to get back to this rubber roofing that you did.
Sure.
How did it come? What did it come in, a big drum or a tubes?
It
or
came
how?
In 5 gallon drums.
Okay.
And they recommended that you pour it on. You take maybe a 5 foot square area,
uh-huh.
and you pour it into that area, and then you either use a squeegee to move it around, or you roll it. And we've tried both, and the rolling worked out the best. We got some foam rollers and rolled it on, and it worked out real well.
You pour it on an area. Do you build a little form around that area and lay up there or something?
No, it just it didn't run off the edge. It's too thick for that, really.
Is this similar to what they might use in when they're doing a pitch with gravel, except you just didn't use the gravel? Is this something, I've seen them do tar roofs where they mop it, kind of.
It's probably similar to that, Don.
Yeah.
Well, how did, you weren't much help there, right?
It was not too much help. I got myself pretty well covered with this stuff.
Well, that's all right. That's okay.
My major function in the whole thing was to put you have to add a chemical to this 5 gallon pail of rubber, essentially.
Okay.
It's a catalyst. It gets it cooked up so that
it'll, and you do that in the pail while it's dry. In the pail?
And my function was to stir this all up.
Well, okay.
So I did have a part in it, but in terms of spreading it, I really couldn't.
You wouldn't be much. I wouldn't either. But you know, and this totally blind guy wouldn't. You know, I'd have just got up there and spread it with my hands, probably.
Does it have to be at a certain temperature? You know, like is it heated? Or
say again, Don.
I say is.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you guys.
Are you
have a pot you can turn up there to.
Are you on your mic, Pat?
I'm on my mic right here. Yes.
Now you are. Now you're better. Can you hear him now? Better.
Yeah, it's better.
I said, is the material heated or just it? Just ambient temperature.
Yeah. You put it on between 40 degrees and 80 degrees. They recommend, I believe, uh-huh. And it dries. It dries to the touch very rapidly.
Really.
But it takes maybe 3 or 4 days before you can actually put any pressure on it.
Yeah.
And
No, you don't want all those footprints and things in the middle of the roof, do you?
Yeah. Yep.
So I guess you could have footprints if you got up there and walked around too much, couldn't you?
Not now that it's dry. Now I can go up there and walk on it.
But. So you would stir it on the ground, and then you would tote it up the ladder to them, right?
I brought the material up on the roof and stirred it up there.
Stirred it up there, huh?
Because the pitch is so slight, and that's why we went with this material.
Because I said the water.
The roofing materials that they were using weren't lasting very long, so we tried this rubber stuff. And you could actually go up there and work with it because the pitch is so slight. You can actually sit on the roof and be quite comfortable.
Now, what is this stuff called? What is its name? You can't remember.
I believe it's just I'm trying to remember the name of the company, and I can't pull it out. I'll have to email that to you.
You'll just have to email that to me, because I want to know, just for my own personal edification.
We had the same deal, though.
I'll email that to you. I'll give you the name and address of the company. I have it downstairs in a file.
Okay. Shaw, go ahead.
We had the same deal on a patio.
You know, the memory's not so good anymore, you know?
Yeah. No, we had a rubber roof put on our patio cover also, because same thing, the roof was such a shallow pitch that the shingles wouldn't. We had leaks, and we had to get a rubber roof because of the slight pitch of the roof, and it's worked fine, man. And we haven't had any problems since then. But we had it. Difference is, we had it put on. So, but you saved some dollars because it's inexpensive. Proposition when you get into a rubber roof.
Well, Don, I don't know that Charles would know. Maybe he does, but I haven't been over for some reason to see yours. Does it? Can they color it? Did it kind of match your shingles?
No.
Did they put shingles, or is it just black?
It's black.
Yes, and
it's
so
black
y'all
or
just,
white.
Okay.
Black and we went with black, but
and ours is black also.
Well, you've got a sighted friend across the street that's interested in things, and he's been helping.
My sighted neighbor has done a number of projects on the house with me, but unfortunately, we've kind of went our separate ways. We've had a few disagreements and thought it'd be best if he went that way and I went the other. So, unfortunately...
That help is gone.
That help is gone. And
it happens.
Right now, my stepson is with us for a little while, so he's helping me out with a few things.
Uh-huh.
But it's basically...
That's step stuff. You know,
it's basically... My wife and I, and it's a tremendous amount of work, and I must say that.
No question about that.
Occasionally, I have thoughts of putting the house up for sale because it's just.
Oh, Charles.
Well, I love this house. I really do.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to look at it, you know, from the standpoint of practicality as well.
Yeah. Charles, I thought at one time that you said, like, the house, it's, or some parts of it or something are on the historical record or. Or did you?
The house is a historic house. It was owned, was built and owned by Isaac Hayes, not the singer, of course. And Isaac Hayes was one of the first merchants of Unadilla and really kind of put the town on the map back in the late 17, early 1800s. And this was his house. And it's rather a famous house in the area that's written about in several books. And we have, I don't know, we have maybe half a dozen, 7 or 8 books that the house is written about or mentioned in.
So do you have to, when you know, I know here in Texas, like where I went to school in Huntsville, there's a lot of historic homes, you know, Sam Houston, kind of the founder of the Republic of Texas. And you have to, if you're going to redo one of these homes, you have to adhere to a pretty strict code. And I was wondering if, like, with your roof. I mean, you know, like if you restore an old car, only so much percentage of it can be synthetic to keep you in the club, you know.
Well, actually, this house, although it's in an historic district, it's not on the historic register as an individual entity.
Okay, that answers...
At least not yet.
Right, okay.
Okay, and that's something we're working on also. So when we do something, we basically keep that in mind. And there are certain things you can do that will
keep you from being
historic.
Yeah,
right.
So. Well, now you but one of the things that's going on in your life is that you found it. You've got a job now, right?
I work as a systems advocate at an independent living center in the area, and. Unfortunately, I've been wanting to be on the show so many times, but my work schedule is such that it doesn't...
Yeah, that's what we understood. But I'm saying in that town, it's pretty amazing that you found a job in that little small town.
Well, the job, the Independent Living Center, is not in this small town. It's, okay. it's probably 20 miles away.
So Mama drives you to work every day?
Commuter.
Well, actually, what makes it really kind of neat is that we both work there.
Oh, you both work there?
Yes, we
oh,
do.
Oh, what a deal.
I
thought he chartered a bus. I didn't know.
Oh, he could.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That's how we met, in fact.
Yeah, whatever.
You met at this independent living place.
We met at this independent living center. We were both hired there the same day, and we were attracted to each other right off, but we tried to avoid each other because we had both come from relationships that were, far from...
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, Charles, now is this the same relationship you were in show number two?
Have we progressed?
She was a new wife then, I think, wasn't she? You have been married to her for 4 or 5 years, haven't you?
Right. Good for you, Charles.
Good for you, Charles is right. How old are you? I remember, you're 50-something, right?
54.
Well, you might as well sell that house, because the older you get, the less interest you'll have. And I got more tools and stuff to do with now, and I don't feel like doing a damn thing. All I want to do, sir, is read my book, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The older you get, the worse it's going to get. So you might as well...
Well, I always wanted my own home, and I would never had the opportunity up until recently to have that. And then, to end up with an historic house as well. Is really quite interesting. So I'm kind of really living a dream here, but I'm also realizing that it's a tremendous amount of work, and it's something that you have to do not 24/7, but you've got to do maybe 16 and 6 or something like that. You can't let down, because the place requires not only maintenance that a regular house would require, but because it's so old and it's all wood.
Yeah,
it's just a continuous process.
And in the wintertime, you can't do much but try to stay
much
warm.
In the winter, no, unless you want to work on the inside.
Try to stay warm is about all you can do up there, isn't it?
Well, we do go through some oil.
I'm kind of a newlywed myself, Charles, about a year and a half here,
And what was your point?
No, I was going to say when we got together, we talked about moving out in the country, and my wife said, we had 3 or 4 acres. You wouldn't want to take care of that. Oh, yes, I would. I said, I have a little diesel tractor and a mower and all that. But she was right. I don't want to take care. Every day I mention realtors. People out here are getting a good price for their stuff. So.
Well, my brother-in-law that bought 8 acres back, same kind of deal. Back when they bought it, but now he's thinking, man, if we lived in town, where we had a little
Crown Colony on the golf course, man.
Yeah. So.
Well, as of course all you guys know, and so does the audience, about the fact that people who are blind can do just about anything they want to do.
Oh yeah.
And it's all a matter of just working out a system to do it. And as a result of that, I'm very capable around here. I think the only thing I really can't do is paint or apply this rubber material, which was like painting anyway.
Yeah.
But, there's pretty much everything else I can do to some extent.
Sure.
Even with all that, though, I'm looking at it now is it's almost beyond me. Because even though I'm capable in so many areas, it's still almost beyond me, because there's so much that needs to be done. Oh, yeah.
And you lost your gung-ho-sided guy. See, that was it. You lost your gung-ho-sided friend. And that was a big loss, wasn't it? I mean, anyway.
I'd say so.
I don't know what happened, don't care, but, you know, it helps. Sighted people are useful. I've been known to use them for all kinds of things. They're kind of helpful sometimes, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, sir.
I can't deny that. He was a great help, and we worked very well together. We just got caught up in a couple of things that maybe
happen.
We shouldn't have.
Oh, yeah, it'll happen.
Done here and there. And
maybe you'll get past it. We can only hope so.
Yeah.
And a system, you say a systems analyst, so you work with computers at this independent living center.
I used to be a systems analyst. I worked for IBM back in the late 70s through the early 90s. In fact, I believe you had Mary Emerson on.
We did.
Blind Like Me.
We did, sir.
And I know Mary. I don't know if she remembers me, but I remember her. Went out to see her one time at her IBM location.
Yeah.
But, as of the mid-90s, IBM downsized, and I, at the time, had developed a disability with my hands. I have carpal tunnel syndrome and ulnar nerve problems, which is another thing that makes it difficult to work on the house. And I had to leave IBM because of that, so... So now I work in an independent living center, and
so Pat, do you think we ought to make him an offer on the house?
I guess not.
I said Don. I asked Don if he thought we ought to make you an offer on the house.
He may take it.
Hell, what if he took it? Then we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Well, Charles, we appreciate you, sir, and we'll try to have you on. We see you say we haven't had you on in about 90 shows, have we?
Well, you know, I have a lot more I'd really love to talk about, both on this show and your other show.
Yeah.
So feel free to...
You want to do a blind like me?
Sure.
That'd be good. I'll call you within a month if I haven't emailed me.
Okay.
Are you on either list? You're on the handyman list,
aren't you? I'm on the handyman list.
Well, if you don't hear from me in a month, give me a call and remind me, because I'm like you. I'm 64, and I get a little forgetful occasionally.
Okay.
Hey, great hearing you, Charles.
Well, yeah, good talking to you, Charles.
Thank you guys so much for having me back, and looking forward to more of it when we can do so.
It's just like having an old friend on, sir. We enjoyed it very much.
Thank you much.
And we'll see you next time. Charles Reichardt from...
Medillo.
Is it Medillo?
Unadilla.
Unadilla.
Unadilla. Yep.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you in a day or two.
Very good.
Back with more of the Handyman Show. Hang on.
Made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Do you know about the Blind Handyman List, sir?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
listening to The Blind Handyman. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
All right. It's good to be back, too. You know, every week or ever so often, we'll say, it hasn't been every week, we've started kind of talking about different tools or different things. Now, I want to kind of put a little different spin on the tools and talk about, because I had an interesting thing happen to me here last week. I needed to measure something quite large, you know, like a 20-foot long 2x6.
Uh-huh.
And so I whipped out my 30-foot long Stanley measuring tape, and I pulled it, and it seemed a little difficult. You know, they have the brake where you can lock them, the little button, and I was thinking, well, maybe that button's pushed down. And so I did everything I could. But when I got to the end of my 20-foot and I went a little past it, all of a sudden the end of my beautiful Stanley tape just came out. So I had this 20, 30-foot piece of metal.
So it pulled out of the reel.
Yeah, just flopping around there, And I don't know why I saved it, but I thought, well, I looked at the case and I said, well, there's four screws. But there's probably all kind of springs. And even Phil's son said, well, he thought Stanley backed their tools and that they would replace it. But I'm not going to mess with it. I threw it in the trash today with great pleasure.
Yeah.
Because last week, the traveling tool show that comes to Lufkin periodically showed up. It's kind of like the carnival. And they have good deals, and then some deals, and then
not so good
deals. But believe it or not, I bought this Stanley tape. Must have cost me, I think, $19.95 or $20. I mean, it knocked the hell out of a $20 bill. I'll say that,
yeah.
Or maybe more. And it was a metal case, and it's been dropped from 8 or 12 feet, and it was dented. And I bought a plastic cased 33-foot long tape measure,
yep,
that works smooth and easy for $2.98 at the tool shop. But what this leads up to is, you know, on the show sometimes we talk and sometimes kind of, well, I'm not going to use the word brag, but Texans are entitled to, about our tools, and we talk about our power tools and our table saws and miter saws and sliding miter saws and all that. But I want to talk about the little home toolbox. In fact, I have three toolboxes. One in the car, one in the house, in the kitchen, underneath the kitchen counter, and then the regular tools out in the garage. And the $2.98 tape measure made me think about that. Now, in the house, you normally don't need a 30-footer, a little 10-foot.
Yeah.
But there again, if you'll look around, you can buy it. But in your little toolbox, you need a little tape measure. I have a small hammer. It's smaller than a regular framing hammer or just a hammer. And like if you want to put, you know, how many times have I come in the warden?
Picture
say,
hangers.
Could we do a picture frame? I want to put this picture over here. And you need it's not a tack hammer. Now, they're a little different shaped. It is a bona fide little hammer, but it's just smaller and lighter.
Yeah.
Perfect. In there, I always, in every toolbox I own, I have a pair of scissors. If you can believe that or not. But how many times have you gone in and went, do you have any scissors? You know, you can't cut this. I was cutting tar paper the other day. I used a box cutter.
Yeah.
Actually, scissors, it's 3 feet wide. Man, put you a good sharp pair of scissors on it and go. And so, all right, wrenches. Well, I have a crescent wrench, a small crescent wrench in these boxes, and they're in some big situations are knuckle busters. But what are you dealing with mostly? A quarter inch nut, a 3/8, something small around the house. You want to tighten this, tighten that.
Yep.
And then what to fill up the rest of the toolbox. You know, in certain stores, you go in a grocery store and they have what they call impulse items.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's snacks at the cash register. And you'd be surprised how many they sell. Well, hardware stores, if they're good, do that too. And at our main lumber supplier that we like to use here in town, the Big Ten Barn, we call it. I'm not sure they're a franchise locally, I think. Up by their register, they had this screwdriver. I think $9.95. And in the head of the screwdriver, the handle, in slots, they have the different bits. Straight edge or Phillips.
Yeah.
You don't have to unscrew anything, and they all fly. I had an older one that had them inside a handle. I don't know if y'all
remember. Yeah, I've seen that.
You unscrew it,
those.
And a spring would fly from here to God knows where, and you'd spend the rest of your day hunting for the spring. But these are in little slots where they pop in and pop out. I think you can even use little small nut drivers. There again, we're talking about the quarter inch or 3/8 inch, 5/16. And so every toolbox, and the impulse part is, if I don't buy it, if Emily sees it, sometimes she'll buy it for me, you know, if they have one of these up there. And if you go into our little friendly family-owned hardware store, he has a whole kind of a sunk bench-type table, or like a sandbox table. I don't know if you've been around schools. Anyway, it's a table that has edges around it that's sunk in the middle, and he just piles these $2 and $3 tools. I mean, bungee cords, tie down straps, wrenches, channel locks,
things.
And so, anyway, when you're outfitting your tools, sometimes Phil today asked me. He said, "Did I loan you my masonry bit? Can't find his large masonry bit." And I said, "Well, no, you didn't." He still thinks he did, but. I bought.
No,
just
I think I loaned it to my brother-in-law. I'm just asking because he says he didn't have it.
No, but actually, I buy in some cases like that throwaway tools, and really in your little home toolbox and in your car toolbox, you could have what I call throwaway tools. And every time I go into Abney's, and these guys all know where it is, our little hardware, I say, "What do you got on your? What's new back there?" You just go prowl around. I bought some 20-foot, 4-inch wide tie down straps. Now, buddy, they'll lash down a mobile home.
Now, are they ratchet type
straps? Wow. And they're wide, not the little skinny ones.
I've got some big long ones.
And these would hold. And I paid like $9 or something for two of them, or maybe. And so I always find things, but they're again in your toolbox. You don't need expensive tools. We talk about a little keyhole saw, a little hammer, a little wrench, a little tape measure, a pair of scissors, and in all of my toolboxes I keep a pencil and a pencil sharpener. You can buy it like just like school supplies.
Oh yeah, a little pencil sharpener.
And so
that's good for you sighted folks.
Guy could make a mark with a pencil and somebody else could look at it. If you said I want to cut this board off here, you could make the mark.
Yeah, if you need a line at a place.
Now, a blind guy needs it in his toolbox. You need in every toolbox you have. You need a scratch all.
Well, a scratch all, and
a scratch
also
all to make
I have
market.
A flashlight, a little flashlight of some sort, and so that's kind of it will take care of the home repairs. And like I say, sometimes we go off on our expensive tools or pneumatic tools or.
Yeah, you need the basics that are just.
And
good
I would
basic.
Have one. My little toolbox is plastic, and it's probably a foot and a half long. 10 inches wide. It has one little tray that sits it. You open the lid, and there's a little tray that you can keep smaller things in and underneath the bigger stuff.
I got a question on this. 33-foot tape?
Yes.
That just seems like an odd measurement. You know, why not have done 30 or 35 feet?
I have idea, except I must have pulled my 30-foot Stanley out 33 feet.
It wouldn't go back, would
it? Also, before we get off subject, also, in your tray, you need 3 or 4 different sizes of screws and a couple nuts and screws, little bolts that'll go together, and a few nails. You need a few little junk things in your tray.
Well, I have some wire. I have wire nuts.
Yeah.
I have
wire cutters.
The little thing, a couple of wire cutters. I mean, you could outfit my little toolbox for $25. And there again, we're talking, I call them throwaway tools. You know, so it doesn't last past two jobs, but I mean, who cares?
Oh yeah.
And there again, talking about pencils and pencil sharpeners and scissors and all that. You know, we've always said blind people can't do it all. You know, if you have a friend, first thing he's going to ask you, you'll say, "Could you hang that picture for me?" You got a pencil? You know, so I have a pencil sharpener.
Have those things ready
and have them ready. And
that's right.
We were talking this morning because our friend John Conley's here. So I have 3 sets of tools, and Shaw, you have 2 sets, right?
You have
clean tools and dirty tools.
Yep.
And you got to have clean tools and dirty tools. I've got clean tools in the studio, and clean tools in the house, and dirty tools in the shop. But I've got an entire set of everything here, an entire set of everything in the house, and an entire set of everything in the shop because I don't want to have to go out here when I get ready to hang a picture.
Yeah,
I've got
that's
a
right.
hammer.
They'll be ready when you need them.
Got a hammer and a ratchet screwdriver and a few nails and a few screws and a pair of wire cutters.
Yep.
And wire strippers. And I don't know what all in my clean. There's a little drawer in that little cabinet in the house that's full of my tools.
You definitely need the clean tools and the dirty tools, mechanic and tools or whatever, separated. So.
And then, like I say, in the little box, and also don't be afraid to look at the impulse items, I call them, in the hardware store. Because sometimes there's just something you'll
deals.
Go, I would really like to have that.
Yep.
Abney has them all. You know, you can walk up to when you're paying him. You can look over to your stuff.
I need to do that.
At the Big Ten Barn, I looked over to my right the other day, and they had little nut drivers that happened to fit my little pivot screwdriver. They had like from quarter, 3/8, 5/16.
That's what you need.
And so I just grabbed about five of them. They're little socket wrenches with magnet.
And
I just bought them. So anyway, that's kind of.
That's tool time for today.
Tool time for the
day. Yeah.
Take over the show.
Yeah.
By God.
Well, I was. You can.
Basic toolkit.
Any time. But anyway, he's right. You need clean tools, dirty tools, but you need a little toolbox in the house.
Oh, yeah. And the car.
Definitely.
And the car.
I don't have one in the car.
Gotta have one in the car.
I've got AAA. Will I see John Kelly?
Yeah.
Charter a bus and come to see us sometime.
Yeah.
No problem.
It's been wonderful to have you on the show. You've contributed so much.
Oh, I know.
Thank you, John.
If I was ever trapped in a bomb shelter, I'd want Conley in there to talk to.
Yeah, this is the quietest he's ever been. He hadn't made any cell phone noises or anything.
Well, he doesn't have
Could you do that for us, John? Thank you.
There it is.
John is a noisemaker. Thank you. Appreciate you. Tool time. Thank you, sir. Don Shaw?
Yeah, man.
Thomas Houston Vick turned all the mics off every time this time.
Oh, every time.
We'll not tease you any more about that.
We'll never hear the end of it.
No, you won't. Let's go cook some burgers. I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.
Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.